Would you turn with me, please, in your Bible to, first of all, the book of Exodus, Exodus in chapter 12, and we'll start in at verse 7. Speaking of the Passover lamb, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. They shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head and his legs, and all the pertinent thereof. You shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. That which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Verse 15. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth unleavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. In the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. You shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this self same day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generation by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at evening. 7 days shall there be found no leaven in all your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall you eat unleavened bread. Now to 1 Corinthians, just for a few verses there. 1 Corinthians in chapter 5. The Apostle Paul speaking to the church at Corinth regarding certain moral disorders tells them, your glorying, verse 6, chapter 5, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The Lord will bless to us the reading of His precious word. Father, as we open Thy word once again, we are very conscious of the limitation of our own hearts and minds to receive anything at all of it, apart from the operation of the Holy Spirit. We pray Thee, therefore, to open our hearts and minds, that we may receive from Thyself that which Thou hast for us this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just like to take a quick look at some pictures of the Passover. We are, as the scripture says, a peculiar people. No less than the Jews. And those things that happened unto them happened for our example, on whom the ends of the world have come. And as we look at the Passover, knowing that it is a picture of the Lord Jesus, there are so many things that come to light that it's difficult even to know where to begin, much less to know where to end. But just a few things we'll look at this evening. And we'll begin by looking at the door itself. The door to the household during the Passover. They shall take of the blood, verse 7, strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. The entire door was to be covered in blood. And not only so, but we read that the basin, that is the slight trough or dish by the threshold, would contain blood. So that the entire door would be ringed in blood. Sealed, as it were, by the blood of the Passover lamb. The lamb was to be killed in the doorway itself. The blood had to be applied upon the doorway itself. Remember, we read in Hebrews chapter 9 that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Knowing as we do that the Passover speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see here what a complete salvation we have. As we look at the Lord Jesus hanging on Calvary, the blood flowed from his head, from his hands, from his feet, from his side. Completely sealing for us our salvation. I am the door, he said. By me, if any man enter in, he is both lamb and door. The lamb that was shed for us, the door to our salvation. As we look at these pictures, we get a sense of both of the absolute necessity of the Lord Jesus for our own salvation and the absolute sufficiency of that salvation. I will pass over you, the Lord says. And we've seen it many times. That word Passover is not just in the sense of sort of just passing by. It's a hovering over. The word is used in the scripture in other places of a hen covering her chick with her wing. It's used in other places of predatory bird covering their prey with their wings. The idea is a sort of shadowing. And the Lord himself shadowed over that dwelling. In John chapter 10, where the Lord said he was the door to the sheepfold, we remember that for the Eastern shepherd, he was quite literally the door. They would build the sheepfold, whether it be of stone or whether it be of thorn bushes woven together into a circle or an enclosure, and they would leave one doorway, and the shepherd would sleep in the doorway. He was quite literally the door to the sheepfold. And if a sheep wanted to pass out during the night, he had to cross the shepherd. If a wolf wanted to come in during the night, he had to cross the shepherd. And the Lord said, I am the door. What angel do you suppose would dare to cross the threshold of that door, knowing of whom it speaks, that is the blood, knowing of what it speaks? No angel would dare to cross that. And as the avenging angel passed by, he must needs pass by that door. The Savior himself was in the way and barred the way, so that their salvation, the salvation of the Israelites in that situation, was as sure as the life of God. As long as the Lord himself hovered over that particular dwelling, those Israelites were saved. And so it is with us. As long as the Lord Jesus lives, our salvation is assured. We are as sure of heaven as we are that he is alive, if he is indeed our salvation, our door, our lamp. Now, there were two feasts that were connected together during this time. The first feast was the Passover itself. And it says that they were to eat of the Passover with their loins girded, their shoes on their feet, their staff in their hand. They shall eat it in haste. Now, we all know the picture of the girded loins in Scripture. Peter tells us to gird up the loins of your mind. And we remember that in the olden days, the men wore what today I suppose we would call dresses. And to work, they had to gird them up and tuck it into their waistband so that their legs would be free to work, so they would not be encumbered, so they could do what they had to do and not be hindered. And they were to eat of this feast with their loins girded. Now, this is very unusual, to sit down to a feast and gird your loins. The picture of the girded loins speaks of work, speaks of service. In light of the fact that Christ is our Passover, what does this mean to us? Well, among other things, it means that service begins with the Lamb. We are encouraged not to be weary in well-doing. And the reason we are encouraged not to be weary in well-doing is because well-doing can get you weary. Can get you very weary. We can do things, as it were, out of a sense of duty or out of a sense of necessity or whatever other reason. But if the Lord has our love, then he'll have our service too. Service begins with the Lamb, with our appreciation of the Lamb, our gratitude toward the Lamb. We are doing whatever we do for him, aren't we? There are many reasons to do things in Christian service. But first and foremost, it should be for the sake of the Lamb. They were to eat of it with their shoes on their feet. And shoes, as we know in the Scripture, speak of the walk of the believer. Now, these same shoes, we are given to understand, after they ate the Passover, these same shoes never wore out as they traveled through the wilderness. We are reminded that our journey begins with the Lamb. He leads the way. We follow Him continuously. There is no end to Christian service. Christian workers don't retire, really. Billy Graham was asked the other day when he would retire, and he looked at the person that asked him the question in kind of a strange way, sort of a way, to retire. Retire? I can't retire. Now, it may be that our service may change during different times in our life, but we don't retire. Our shoes never wear out. There's always something for the Christian to be doing. And if we can't preach or do this or that, there's always something we can always pray. And that's not to belittle prayer. Many times that the servants of God have been given to understand that the success of their ministry is because of the prayer of the saints, and not their own prayer or their own efforts or any other reason. We're on our way home, following the Lamb. They were to eat it with their staff in their hand. Now this gives us a couple of pictures. Shepherds always use staff. It was something that you would need on a desert journey. If you walk in slippery sand, you would need something to prop yourself up with. The sand would be slippery many times. Every one of them was in the desert. Every one of them was a shepherd. None of them were farmers in the desert. All were shepherds. They had sheep. They didn't raise crops. They were all shepherds. Trust begins with the Lamb as well. We have to lean on Him. We need help in this desert. Footing is slippery. Footing is very slippery. We must lean upon Him. But everyone was a shepherd. You know, one of the things about the assembly is that all of us are shepherds. Now, it's true that every elder should be a shepherd. But not every shepherd needs to be an elder. There are older women who shepherd the younger women. There are men who shepherd the young boys. There are mothers who shepherd their children. We can all guide and lead and feed one another in different ways. All of us in this wilderness life are shepherds. And then there was the other feast, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which began the same night as Passover and lasted for 7 days. The first feast, the Passover feast, speaks of our salvation. The second, Feast of Unleavened Bread, speaks of our sanctification. There was a holy convocation on the first and the seventh day. More of this in a short while. Verse 16 says, during the first day there shall be a holy convocation. In the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. Now here's an interesting picture. You're eating the Passover with your loins girded for work. You finish the Passover, you start the Feast of Unleavened Bread, but no manner of work may be done. Why is this? Why is it? Well, there's work, and there's work. There's work, and there's work. There's nothing that we can do, either in our own salvation or our own sanctification, that can earn us brownie points with God. We know this. There's no work that we can do. On the other hand, there is work that God has for us to do in service for Him. And if we're doing work to gain salvation, we'll never get there. But if, out of a heart of love and gratitude to God, we do those things that He has before ordained that we should walk in them, well then, there's work for us to do. Now, leaven, or as the Hebrews say, chometz, had the practice to pronounce that. Chometz. It's a bitter, sour kind of a thing. It ferments. In Matthew chapter 16, the Lord spoke of the false doctrine of the Pharisees as leaven. In Mark chapter 8 and Luke chapter 12, He spoke of the hypocrisy and pride of the Pharisees as leaven. Leaven in the Scriptures is always a picture of sin. And it may be that in Matthew, purity of doctrine is in view, and in Mark and Luke, purity of life is in view, when the Lord speaks of the leaven of Pharisees. Sin is very bitter, very sour, as far as the Lord is concerned. And we're talking about leavened bread, sourdough bread. And normally, the way this was made was that when you made it with the leaven, the seed, a small lump would be saved from the first bread. And then when the next loaf was made, this lump was added and mixed all through the second loaf. And a small piece was saved from that loaf. And so the process was continued, so that the leaven was passed on from generation to generation. So you have an organic link of the leaven from the very first loaf down to the very last loaf that you make. Now, some of the younger folk here might not understand this. I see Sister Bryce smiling over here. It's something that Eve's been getting more into now. So I can see the picture in my mind because I know what she has to go through to make the dough. This organic link of yeast from the very first lump speaks to us, I feel, of the original sin that comes down to us from the very first man. Leaven is a picture of sin. It's something that we have within us. We have an organic link to the first man. And so all of us have this tendency to be leavened bread. Thankfully, we also have spiritual link to the second Adam. We know that we have within us two natures that war one with another. And it's it depends which one we tend to feed that wins out. Whether we rely on the Lord Jesus, whether we lean on Him, or whether we do His work, or whether we lean upon our own understanding. Now, unleavened bread, or matzo, was fresh every time. You make that fresh every time. It has no leaven. Matzo means sweet, without any sour. And this speaks to us, I believe, of the renewal, the regeneration of our minds and hearts. Just as we have this organic link to the first Adam, we have the spiritual link to the second. And if Adam is the leaven, the Lord Jesus is the matzo. There's no leaven in Him. And if we're going to have our minds and hearts renewed and regenerated, there has to be a complete change, a complete metamorphosis. When I was small boy, I used to love to watch caterpillars turn into moths and butterflies. I would go and search out all the little cocoons that I could find, and I would go and check them every day, until at last the moth would emerge from inside the cocoon, inside the chrysalis, goes in a caterpillar, and completely reorganizes its internal organs and external features. It turns itself literally into soup and then reorganizes itself as a completely different creature from the inside out. And that's the literal word that the Apostle Paul uses in Romans 12, 1 and 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word transformed there is metamorphosis. Change from the inside out. We're to be fresh. Every time. We are to reflect the sweetness of the Lord Jesus. No sour at all. The sweetness of Christ. And in gratitude to Him and in imitation of Him, we are to live our lives. Now, it says, no strangers were to be allowed at this feast. No strangers were to be allowed. And for the unsaved, it's impossible to appreciate the Lord our Passover. It's impossible to live as matzo, as unleavened bread. It's an absolute impossibility. No strangers allowed at this feast. Lastly, time's gone, but lastly, the first month. First shall be last, and the last shall be first. In verse 2 of chapter 12, it says, this month shall be to you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Now there's an interesting first and last comparison in this chapter. You have the first and last month, you have the first and last day. The first and last month, the first month of the year was Tishri, which roughly corresponds to our September, October, somewhere around there. That was the beginning of the official year that would correspond to our January. The seventh month was March, April, which would be Nisan. And the Lord changed their calendar. He said, well, yeah, I know, Tishri was your first month. Well, does that change? All that changed. Nisan is your first month now. And you know, it's interesting. The Jews worship on Sunday, on Saturday. That was to be their day of days. Would be the first day of the feast. The seventh day would be their, what would correspond to our Sunday. And as the Lord has changed their calendar as regards the month. He's changed our calendar as regards the day. We don't worship on the Saturday anymore. On the Sabbath. We worship on the Lord's Day. We follow our Passover lamb. You know, we've said it so often that I often wonder if we really understand the full import of the fact that we are under grace and not under the law. If we were under the law, all of us here would be no more than Gentile dogs. We would be able to get in, if we went to the temple, we would be able to come as far as the court of the Gentiles and try to peer over the shoulders of the Jews and say, "Venice." But in the Lord Jesus, we've been brought nigh. We've been brought into the very holy of holies. What a great and remarkable privilege we have. And Sunday is our first day because worship is for us. Father, Scripture says, Father seeketh worshipers. And as we come on the Lord's Day and worship, we come for a very specific kind of worship. Verse 14 says, "This day shall be unto you for a memorial." For a memorial. For a remembrance. And the remembrance feast, the breaking of bread on Sunday morning, is a rather more focused than just generic worship. We may worship God for any number of reasons. We could worship Him because He's the Creator. We could worship Him because of His great power. We could worship Him for any number of reasons. But when we come on Sunday morning, it's very specific. We remember the Lord Jesus for His worth. For His work. That's a little more focused. It's our memorial. Our memorial feast that we are to keep throughout our generation. To remind ourselves how that we were brought out of Egypt. How we were bought with a price. So we are to glorify God with our bodies. And slaves that are bought for a price are bought for work. In the olden days, they didn't buy slaves just to leave them on the wayside. They were bought for work. And so are we. If we had more time, which we don't, if we had more time, I might pull a dirty trick on you and just ask you to be quiet for a minute. And then after the minute, I would ask you, where'd your mind go? What were you thinking about? When we let our mind go, where does our mind go? Scripture says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." And the word there is pinned, just as you pin a brooch. You pin diapers, you know, or used to pin diapers, you use sticky ties now, but where's our mind pinned? You know, if I took an everlasting rubber band and attached it to the podium here, I could take it and carry it all around the chapel, wrap it around a couple of heads in the congregation and go outside the building. But when I let it go, where does it go? It comes right back here. And when we let our mind go, where does it go? Well, if our mind is stayed on Him, that's where it goes. What do we remember? You know, even when we come to the breaking of bread, if we're all honest, we would admit that there are times, even during the breaking of bread, when our mind wanders. And it goes off in other directions. Just as the Jews' calendar would change, and their life would change, so as our calendar would change, our life would change. As we look at these few simple pictures of what went on at the Passover, let's encourage our hearts. To follow the Lamb wheresoever He may lead, throughout whatever wilderness He may lead us. Let's determine to lean only on Him, and in gratitude imitate Him, so that we might become unleavened bread. We might become master. Are we Chomet Christian or Matzo Christian? Even Christ our Passover is slain for us. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank You for who the Lord Jesus is, for what He has done. How we thank Thee, O Lord, that He is to us both our Lamb and our door. By Him we may enter in. That our salvation is as sure as His very life. For He ever liveth to make intercession for us. We thank Thee that Thou hast saved us for a purpose. That Thou hast saved us to do that which Thou hast already gifted us to do. Whatever we may do for Thee, it may be done to glorify Thee. In service to the Lamb who died for us at the place called Calvary. Help us, O Lord, to follow the Lamb whithersoever He may lead. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen.